at the song, and God must have thought it was pretty important, because when you close out the book of Deuteronomy, the last instruction that Moses gave to Israel is a song. And he told them, teach them this song. And why is that? Because there's something about music that makes it lock in their minds. I think God knows because he made us that way. Amen. And I love singing the scriptures, so I appreciate that. All right, let's take our Bibles tonight. And we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. My mics are turned on, Brother Matt. I just don't feel like I have anything going on up here. So I'll let you work on that. All right, Proverbs. Last week, we taught on the foolish woman. And, the principles weren't just for ladies, they were for men as well. But we did find a verse that specifically mentioned, that phrase, the foolish woman. And we're taking a journey through the book of Proverbs, and we're studying the people of Proverbs. And we're doing that by, looking at, different people that is mentioned. The majority of them are mentioned under men, some of them were mentioned under women, and so that's how we're studying the book of Proverbs. And so last week, I was going to try to get here last week, we just didn't make it. So we're going to go there this week, and we're going to talk about the opposite of the foolish woman, and that is the God-fearing woman, the God-fearing woman. So if you find your place, stand with me, Proverbs chapter 31, very famous passage of Scripture here. Of course, you understand when you say Proverbs 31, everyone thinks of the virtuous woman, and that is where the verse is coming from, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. The Bible says this, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Let's read it one more time. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Let's pray tonight. Lord, we love you. We ask that you'd meet with us tonight. We ask that you'd speak to us, Lord, through the Scripture. Lord, you said that the entrance of your Word bringeth forth light. And Lord, we need to be enlightened through your Word tonight. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. Holy Spirit of God, we invite you into our service. We want you here. We ask that you'd be active here tonight. And we just thank you for it. Lord Jesus, we'll always be sure to give you the praise, glory, and honor, Lord, for you alone are worthy. And we thank you now. We ask it in your precious and holy name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The God-fearing woman. Now, we talked some about this as we've gone through Proverbs. You can't help but talk about it because, truth be told, it's an underflowing theme through the book of Proverbs. But that is the subject of the fear of the Lord. And if there's ever a day and age where we need to get back to fearing God, it's the day and age we're living in. Amen. By the way, the world's going to do what the world's going to do. I ain't talking to the world tonight. I'm talking to God's people. And even amongst the Church of Jesus Christ, I'm afraid that we've lost are a healthy dose of the fear of the Lord. By the way, when people lose fear of God, Katie bar the door, anything and everything's possible when you lose the fear of God in your life. And so we're going to talk about this tonight. And again, it is likened to a woman because we saw that there in Proverbs chapter 30. But these principles aren't just for women. They're for anybody, what age you are. Young people need to be taught these principles. Teenagers, young adults, middle-aged adults, all adults, we need to be taught these principles. So let's get right into it tonight, and let's do a deep dive into the subject of the fear of the Lord, the God-fearing woman. All right, let's figure out what it is to fear the Lord. What's the actions of someone that fears the Lord? Again, let me define for you a good biblical definition what it means to fear the Lord, fear God. Sometimes people miscue what that means. Well, if you compare the Scripture and after we look at this tonight, I think you'll come to this consensus, but it simply means this. When you fear God, you live your life knowing that God is watching everything you do. And that mindset prevails in every decision you make in the Christian life. That means this. Hey, you know what? I better be careful where I go because God's always watching me. Hey, you know what? I better be careful what I say because God's always listening. When I was a little boy in Sunday school, we used to sing this song about I just lost it for a minute. My mind went blank. Oh, here's what it is. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For there's a Savior up above that's watching down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. I remember my Sunday school teacher, the little boy would teach me. And then we'd say this. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For there's a Savior up above that's looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little. And we'd go through the whole body. And by the way, that's important that we get it from a young age. Because by the way, children who aren't taught to fear God turn into teenagers who don't fear God, which lead to adults that don't fear God. That's why we got to teach our young people. By the way, the Bible talks about that when it comes to rearing children, uses that phrase betimes. And that literally means early in life. Early in life. And that's why it's so important that we teach and train our children according to God's Word. Amen. And so that's what it means to fear the Lord. Now, as we look at this tonight, you're going to see attributes of specifically what this talks about. So let's get right into it tonight. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, of course, we're going to be in Proverbs. All the verses we turn to will be in the book of Proverbs tonight. Proverbs chapter 3. Here's the first character trait of someone that fears the Lord, the God-fearing woman, the God-fearing man. And that is this. Let's just read the verses. Let the verses define it for us. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. By the way, that's an imperative statement. An imperative statement. Now, I don't, you know, want to bring out my old school teacher days, okay? But I was the guy that, the school teacher, you know, when the kids were doing English class. Can I do this? I don't know. Can you? You know how teachers used to do. Okay, my teacher did it to me. I did it to young people, too. Oh, may I do this, right? And so I was kind of that guy there for a while, okay? But no, it's an imperative statement, okay? If you understand the English language, there's different types of sentences. There's declarative sentences, interrogative sentences, imperative sentences. Imperative means this, it's a command. Okay? God's commanding us something here. Here's what it says. Fear the Lord. By the way, did you see how the Lord spelled there? Capital L, capital O, capital O-R, capital D. You know what that refers to? That anytime you see the word Lord, all letters capitalized in your King James Bible, that's talking to Jehovah, the self-existent one. Amen. It's a phrase of exaltation when it describes a particular character trait of who God is. So fear the Lord and depart from evil. And depart from evil. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Let's read the verses and then we'll figure out what the character trait is. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. This one here pretty much declares it pretty plain to understand. Notice what it says. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and then list some other things. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. This is talking about wisdom here. The antithesis of foolishness is wisdom. And so wisdom here is speaking and is telling us that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil and then list some other things. Pride, arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth. And then Proverbs 16, verse 6. Proverbs 16, verse 6. And again, I think this verse sums it up, and you'll be able to figure out the principle here. Look what it says. Proverbs 16, 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So here's the character trait that we're going to look at, the first one. If you fear the Lord, number one, you will hate evil. You will hate evil. By the way, listen now, hey, hate is not a wrong emotion if you hate the right things. Okay? Hate is not a wrong emotion. In fact, the Bible tells us some things that wisdom hates, and we of course know that God is Jesus Christ is the personification of wisdom. God hates these things. And you know what? Here's how you decide what to hate. Read the Bible, and if God says He hates it, you hate it. That's how you figure it out. Amen? By the way, you know what you're never going to find on that list? Each other. The brethren. You ain't going to find that on the list. Isn't that just like human nature, right? We want to do it exactly opposite of what God wants to do it as. No, listen, God says, if you fear God, you're going to hate evil. You're going to hate evil. Amen? And let me tell you, folks, we need to have a hatred in our heart for evil. Now, again, not toward people who commit evil, but evil itself. By the way, evil is, if you want to say it is a thing, it is a thing, and I'll be honest with you, I believe evil is personified in evil spirits, in devils, in fallen angels. And listen, it's okay to hate the devil. It's okay to hate evil and hate what evil does in people's lives. Let me tell you, folks, listen, I hate the results of evil in this world we're living in. I hate that. I hate that in the name of evil, and of course the world doesn't define it as that. They call it in the name of pro-choice. that all these innocent little babies are being murdered in their mother's womb. I hate that result of evil right there. I hate how evil destroys families, and it leads to things like a pedophilia and a spouse abuse and all the wicked things that mankind's involved in. Listen, I hate that. I hate that. By the way, we ought to have righteous indignation and a hate toward evil. By the way, the closer you get to God, the more you'll hate evil. By the way, if you hate evil, then you know what that means? When the devil tempts you with that, you're more likely to run from that and don't give in to that temptation when you realize how bad it really is. And you don't fall for the little false veneer of a lie that Satan wants to try to get people to fall for. So fearing God means this, you hate evil. What else do we see? Go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Just going to take a journey. Let the Bible define it. Amen. I told you Thursday night is Bible study. And we're going to the Bible, flipping the verses, looking at them. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 2. Here's what else you see about the fear of the Lord. It says this, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. Now we see a couple different principles here, and the first principle we see is that, and here is the principle about fearing the Lord. You will walk uprightly. Walk uprightly. Again, notice what it says, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. Now again, let's think about it. Walking, okay? Walking is the path of life that you're on. It's talking about the way you live your life, how you live your life, okay? If you're walking someplace, that your feet are pointed in that direction. Okay? Now again, it doesn't mean that from time to time you may not have a fall, you may not slip up, but it means this, your feet are pointed a certain way. For example, alright, I used this illustration last night when I was preaching to the NA folks, alright? If I want to go to Vincent's, alright, that means this, I've got to be pointed north, okay? And let's just say that represents righteousness, okay? And we'll say Evansville, all right? Evansville. Why am I picking on Evansville tonight? I don't know, all right? Represents wickedness, okay? Now come on, common sense, right? Okay, I got a choice, okay? Now look. I'm not going anywhere if one foot's this way and one foot's that way. In fact, I'll be honest with you, that's pretty uncomfortable even to stand, amen? Because that ain't the way God made us. No, listen, hey, if I want to go this way, guess what that means? My feet can't be pointed this way. Isn't that just common sense? Isn't the Bible so hard to understand? Amen. No, listen, if I'm going upright, if I'm going toward righteousness, my feet are pointed that way, and that's the path of life that I'm on. Don't tell me you're going this way if your feet are pointed that way. That ain't the way it works. Amen. You can't have it both ways in the Christian life. No, you know what Jesus said? Pick a side. Pick a side. Figure out what side you're on. Hey, get your feet pointed in the right direction. By the way, when you fear God, you're going to walk uprightly. By the way, what defines what's right? Come on now, you know where I'm going with this. All right, what defines what's right? This person's opinion? That person's opinion? Okay, public opinion? Oh, Lord help us, no. Amen? Okay, political opinion? No! God's opinion defines what's right. So that means this. Whatever the Word of God says is going to define what is right, what is wrong, and my feet are going to be pointed in the direction of righteousness. And when you walk that way, you know what that tells God? Yep, my child fears me. Because he believes, hey, did you hear what we sang tonight? That last verse that we sang about the Scripture. I talked about how it's like honey, it's like more valuable than gold. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Did you read it or did you hear it tonight as we sang it? Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Hey, listen, God tells us the do's and don'ts, not so he can be this big ogre sitting up in heaven trying to make our lives miserable. It's because he loves us and he sees the end from the beginning and everything in between, and he knows what happens if we don't walk uprightly. He knows. Right? And he's got our best interest at heart because he's a loving father and he loves us. And so let the Word of God define what's right. Okay? Be warned, and in keeping of them is great reward. Hey, they're, it's right, it's wrong, according to the Word of God. And if you fear God, your feet are going to be pointed in an upright direction. All right? Okay, here we go. What else do we see? Proverbs chapter 1.
Proverbs chapter, man, that was just the first 2 points tonight. Man, I feel like I've been preaching a marathon already. Good night. I didn't mean to get this wound up about it. I can't help it. I just start preaching. Woo! It flows. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. What else do we see here? I'm going to tell you, this is where if you put this to practice in your life, okay? I don't want to define it as levels, but there are, the more you practice this, the more benefit you're going to see from this. Okay, let's look at what it says. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord, there's that phrase again, is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hey, here's what happens when you fear God. You begin to know things. Okay, by the way, again, not just, you know, general knowledge about things. Okay, no, I'm talking about the things in life that you need to know, as we're going to see in the next step that makes you wise. But the Bible says that you're not even going to go anywhere in the Christian life until you have the mentality of fearing God. It's the beginning of it all. Okay, the beginning of it all. And you know, truth be told, it's that mindset, really, that sets the precedence for success in the Christian life. Fearing God. Okay, listen, you got to start somewhere. Okay, it obviously begins at salvation. But once you get saved, you begin a journey, you begin a walk. And listen, God doesn't expect you to stay where you were at when you got saved. Okay? The Christian life is a life of growth. God expect, by the way, come on now, what's He likened us to? What Jesus said, I believe, in John chapter 14? We're supposed to be what? Bearing fruit. You know what that speaks of? Mature growth. Realize the first few years that fruit trees get planted, they don't produce much. Okay? It takes some growth. You have fruit trees, you know that. It takes some years of growth and maturity to start producing good fruit. And God wants our lives producing things. And you'll never produce anything if you don't learn to fear God. Because once you fear God, then your mind is in the right place, and then God can start teaching you things. You realize, folks, that there are truths of the Word of God that are more deep-level truths? Okay, now listen. When you read the Bible, just because it's God's Word, you're going to glean truth. Okay? You will. You'll glean truth. But in order to sometimes even go deeper, by the way, listen, folks, this book here, it's a deep well. Amen? But you'll never exhaust it. You'll never reach its full capacity because it's alive. Amen? And it is filled with God's wisdom and God's knowledge. That's why so many preachers from all the down through the centuries and the millennium has preached and taught from this Bible, and it's never exhausted. Why? Because it's a live book, that's why. Now, we know there's no new truth under the sun, but there are things that God wants to teach you, and knowledge He wants to impart to you. Listen, you're never going to get it if you don't fear God, right? I mean, I love seeing, as we have new folks in, the growth that I see in some of you. I mean, some of you, the conversations we have, you wouldn't have been having this conversation with anybody a year or two ago. But you know what? Now we're having intelligent spiritual conversation. And you know now. You know why? Because you're studying on your own, and your heart is open, and you're fearing God. And as you have your walk with God, God reveals truth to you. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Amen? So fearing God will give you knowledge. Not only that, here's the next step. Go to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. And you see kind of this go hand in hand, but they're different. It's not the same. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord, not only is the beginning of knowledge, notice this, is the beginning of wisdom. And look at this next phrase. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, I'm going to tell you, that verse right there, that's a well right there. The knowledge of the holy. Okay, there's certain things, folks, again, that it takes study to dig out of this word right here. The Word of God is so perfect and so complete. And you won't get some of that just with general reading. You've got to dig some stuff out. You've got to study out. You've got to compare Scripture with Scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, as the Bible says. But listen, the more you fear God, your knowledge will be increased, and so will your wisdom. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. And then Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So another character trait of fear in God is not just knowledge, but is wisdom. By the way, again, let's define this. What's wisdom? Sometimes we say these words, but we don't know what they mean. Okay? Knowledge is learning it here. By the way, you need to learn it here. Okay? You should learn it here. I mean, sometimes people want to, you know, think that, you know, you shouldn't want to learn. No, absolutely not. You ought to want to learn. Amen? But it shouldn't stop there. Because the Bible tells us that knowledge puffeth up. If it just stops there and stays here, it's going to blow up like a big balloon. But you know how you keep this thing from blowing up like a big balloon? And I'm metaphorically speaking here, okay? That people with big heads, listen, it's got to come out. How does the knowledge come out? It comes out in wisdom. Because wisdom is the practical application of the knowledge of the Word of God. That's wisdom. It's when you read it, you fill your head with knowledge, and then you live it out in a practical way in your life. That is wisdom. And I'm going to tell you, folks, fearing God leads to those types of things. And by the way, well, I don't know if we'll even get to this tonight. I'm going to tell you what happens here. When you live this way, when you fear God, and you have knowledge, and you have wisdom, listen, a byproduct of all that is the blessings of God. Is the blessings of God, right? No, listen, you obey God. You figure what the Bible says. You obey. And a byproduct of obedience is blessings. Is blessings. And so the fear of the Lord will give you knowledge and wisdom. And then let's look at another verse. Proverbs 24:21. It's a good principle right here. Notice what it says. My son. And by the way, you know what cracks me up about this? And it's pretty sad, actually. But the book of Proverbs, of course, written by Solomon. And right now in my Bible reading, I'm in the book of 1 Kings, and I'm reading, going through right now. Solomon, in my Bible reading this morning, just took over as king. And he began ruling the kingdom. And man, he was filled with wisdom. He wrote the book of Proverbs, okay? You see the phrase over and over, to his son, okay? And you know what's sad about the whole story? You read Solomon's son, his life was a disaster. You know why? Because even though Solomon wrote to his son, Rehoboam, his son, didn't do what his dad said. He did what his dad did. You know what that teaches us, folks? That what you do is more important than what you say. Now, should you say it? Oh, yeah. But you better make sure your life backs up what you say. Because I'm going to tell you, a life that all it is speak. Let's be honest. You know what? Guilty is charged when we do that. Hypocrites. What's the word hypocrite mean? Actor. That's what it means. Okay? People that say one thing and live another way, nobody believes that. It's one of the worst testimonies for Jesus Christ when you're all talk and you don't live anything. By the way, that's what Solomon did. Man, his life was an example of both ends of the spectrum. What you should be for the first 20 years of his life and what you should not be for the last 20 years of his life. By the way, it didn't end well for Solomon. He finally came full circle, but by then it was too late. He done sacrificed the blessings of God. He done sacrificed, truth be told, the potential of his children. Because of his bad choices, the kingdom was split when he passed off the scene. I'm going to tell you what a sad testimony. The wisest man that walked the earth next to Jesus Christ ended up blowing it. By the way, if Solomon could blow it, so could we. Amen? We need to learn from this, okay? Now, that was free, by the way, all right? Just from the two words, my son. All right, let's keep reading. Proverbs 24:21. My son, here it is, fear thou the Lord and the king. By the way, you know what I'm talking about? Having the right attitude toward earthly authority. Okay, toward earthly authority, because God's the ultimate authority, but God has also established earthly authority. Okay? And you know what? We have a responsibility as long as earthly authority doesn't usurp heavenly authority to obey earthly authority. And that's why you're never going to hear from this pulpit telling people that you ought to, you know, rebel. Now again, there comes a time where if we must obey God rather than men. But listen, folks, Romans 13, I believe, talks about how that God gives us earthly authority and it's God ordained. And when you rebel against that, if it's not usurping God's authority, then you're really rebelling against God. Okay? I mean, listen, folks, there may be a coming a time and a place where we have to uprise, just like our forefathers did. But until that time comes, I'm going to obey my earthly authority. Hey, you know what? As much as I hate to say it, it's right around the corner. I'm going to pay my taxes. Okay? Do I like it? No. I do it with a frown. I do it with a scowl. There might even be some under the breath, not nice things I say. But you know, I'm going to do it. Because Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, as long as our earthly authority doesn't usurp the heavenly authority, we need to obey it, because that's what the fear of the Lord tells us to do. Now, there may become a time where that crosses a line, and we've got to do like our forefathers did and say, enough is enough. Amen? Because we're going to obey God rather than men. There may come a time that has to happen. But until that time, we need to fear the king, fear earthly authority. And, notice here's in the second part of the verse, and meddle not with them that are given to change. So here's the principle. The fear of the Lord will give you consistency in your life. Consistency. Do you see what that last phrase said? And meddle not. Don't even mess with people that are given to change. Okay? By the way, the book of James has something to say about that. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Okay? Let me tell you what just walking with God will do in your life, fearing God. You will be consistent. Let me tell you, consistency is huge in your life. Huge. Okay? Listen, sometimes you get these people that are flash in the pants, all right? I mean, man, they seemingly get it, and oh, yeah, oh. 2 weeks, after 2 weeks, you can't find them anymore. One and done, or two and done, right? By the way, parable of the sower backs this up. The seed that gets caught and choked out, okay, doesn't have root, can't grow. I mean, it's just part of it, all right? And then some people, I mean, you know, you got some people way up here, and you got some people way down here. Okay, I mean, everything's, there's no joy. I mean, no one's ever going to have to be able to smile again until maybe we get to heaven, and then maybe we'll be able to smile. I mean, what in the world? No, listen, hey. Find the happy medium, which is consistency, okay? And listen, fearing God will help you live with consistency. Now, I know I used examples about emotions, but it's not just emotion. It's consistency in all aspects of the Christian life. Just be consistent, or here's another Bible word for it, faithful. Be faithful. Amen? Just be faithful. Be somebody that God can count on. The greatest ability is availability. Just being available. Being there. Being faithful. Being consistent. And when you fear the Lord, you know what? You will be. Amen? Because that's what it produces in your life. Now, here's what happens, according to the book of Proverbs, the Word of God, if you fear God. If you have this mindset in your life, here's the positive. Now, we don't have time to talk about the negatives because really, technically, last week, that was the whole message about the negatives, by being foolish, okay? Because foolishness is the opposite of wisdom, the opposite of fear of the Lord. And we saw the disaster a life is that lives by foolishness. That's a disaster of a life. You don't want to live that way, okay? So here's three particular things. That the Bible, I'm sorry, actually note six. I forgot I had another page of notes there. Six things real quick in the next 10 minutes that is a reward of fearing God. All right, Proverbs chapter 10. I'm going to read the verses. We'll talk about them for just a second, and we'll get these done in 10 minutes. All right, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. Okay, here's the first reward of fearing God. Here's what the Bible says. The fear of the Lord, notice this, prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Okay, according to the Word of God here, fear of the Lord will prolong your days. Okay, prolonged life. Now again, folks, okay, we got to make this statement that God's will trumps it all. And for some people, it's God's will for His choicest servants not to have prolonged life. That's God's will. But listen, folks, that truth be told, though, really is the exception, not the rule. Okay, of all the handful of instances I could tell you of God-fearing people that God took home early, there's 1,000 more who God didn't, okay? But understand, there are exceptions to some of this, and that's God's business, because He's God. And by the way, He don't have to answer to me, He don't have to answer to you, He's God, amen? But prolonged life. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Listen, you want to live a long life on this earth, and I don't know some days if I want to or not, amen, that's how things are going. But no, prolonged life, okay? Fear God. By the way, this makes sense when it comes to spiritual things, but also physical things. Because you know what, truth be told, if you fear God, you're not going to be doing things that could harm your bodily temple and cut your life short because you fear God. Amen? It just makes sense that it will help give you the most potential long life on earth that you can. By the way, not only does it affect the physical choices, but you know it's amazing how the spiritual life and the physical life are integrated. You realize when you live a life right with God, there's less stress in life. There's less guilt in life, and those things right there will put you in an early grave. I mean, doctors tell you that. Stress and guilt, those types of things, they literally kill people, right? So just learn to fear God. Prolonged life. Proverbs 14:26. Look at this one. This is a good one. I love this. This is a verse the Lord showed me years ago. I've tried to live my life by this. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, look at this, is strong confidence. And his children shall have a place of refuge. Man, that's a good principle right there. Listen, you realize God doesn't want you walking through life always doubting everything, always insecure about everything, insecure in who you are as a person, insecure in your relationships with people, insecure in who God is to you. That doesn't come from God. Okay? Listen, God wants you through Him to have strong confidence. By the way, when your confidence is in God, who cares what man says about you? Who cares what people think about you if my confidence is in God? By the way, you can have that. Strong confidence, it comes as a byproduct of fearing God. Amen? By the way, if you're going to be a leader of people, you need to have confidence. You can't always be second-guessing everything. Again, according to all of this lined up with godly principles. Okay, I'll be honest with you, folks. You know, I try the best I can as a pastor to lead this church the way I feel like God wants me to do it. And you know, have I made some mistakes through the last 8 years of pastoring? Sure, I've made some mistakes. But you know what? Hopefully, okay, and I'm not bragging on me by saying this, hopefully I've got it right more than I've got it wrong. Okay? I mean, that's the goal of anything in life, right? I mean, look, I don't want to keep messing stuff up. I don't think anybody does. Amen? But no, listen, what can give you the confidence to make decisions and to lead? I'm talking about your families and then positions in life that you have, wherever at your work or wherever you're at. Hey, the fear of the Lord will give you that strong confidence. I'm going to tell you, your relationship with God is key to every other relationship in your life. Your relationship with God. Listen, the greatest to me, the greatest secret, if you want to call it that, it's not a secret, but the greatest power source of the Christian life is your personal walk with God. The greatest power source. I mean, literally, come on. You know, we got these stupid things we carry around with us all the time, right? These government trackers, okay, and that's really what they are, okay? They listen to everything we say and probably record everything we're doing and whatever, okay? But you know what? What happens if you don't plug this thing into the wall at night? You know what happens? When you get up the next morning, it's dead, right? Come on now. Hey, that's the way it is in the Christian life. Listen, as you live through the day, you give out. Your battery drains, it drains. You got to charge up so you can go another day. You know how you do that? Walk with God. Have a relationship with the Lord. Let God speak to you through His Word every morning. You speak to Him in prayer. Hey, get charged up through the fear of the Lord is a strong confidence. How about this? Proverbs 19:23. Go there. Here's something else. This is good. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. That goes back to the first one we talked about. And he that hath it, look at this. He that hath it shall abide, say that word with me, church, satisfied. Satisfaction comes from fearing the Lord. Okay, now I don't listen to secular music, but there is a secular song that was popular. I don't know when, but I believe it was sung by somebody famous and popular. But the title of the song was this: Can't get no satisfaction. And isn't that, truth be told, the theme of the world anyway? The unsung song of the world? And by the way, of backslidden Christians? Can't get no satisfaction. You know why? Because they ain't loving God, serving God, fearing God. Listen, when you live this way, there is satisfaction in your life. You will be satisfied. You know why? Because your satisfaction comes from the right source. Not from what the world offers, not from what the flesh offers, but from what God offers. Amen? I'm going to tell you, you will be satisfied. Not because I say you will, because God says you will. Man, talk about... I mean, listen, folks. You know how many people that supposedly have it all that the world has to offer? They're miserable. They can't find any satisfaction in all that stuff. But yet, you know what? Those of us that try our best to love God, serve God, walk with God, fear God, we have what they'll never have. And truth be told, it's priceless. Amen? satisfaction. Proverbs 31:30. We read the verse earlier. I'll just read it again. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You know what comes with fearing God? Praise. Praise. Now, I understand, folks, that the goal is not for people to praise us, but it's for us to reflect praise to God. But truth be told, it's not wrong to receive praise, okay? In fact, the Bible says, let another man praise you and not your own lips, okay? Listen, someone told me something, I heard this one time, and it's good. Compliments, same thing as praise. Compliments are like perfume. It may smell good, but if you drink it, it'll kill you, right? Okay? And listen, just take that stuff with a grain of salt. But that being said, you know what? If you fear the Lord, I mean, God talks about if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt you in due time. Listen, God doesn't... There's this false mentality that we ought to walk around all the time with this mentality that we're low as dirt. We can, you know, woe is me. I'm just this horrible, wretched person. Okay, now, do we have to deal with our sin? Yes, we do. But listen, folks, here's always the thing you find out. When people in the Bible encountered God, they always went right to the ground, flat on the face, as low as they could go, because they encountered holiness. And after they went straight to the ground, you know what God always did? Lifted them up. And by the way, folks, listen, understand who we are as God's people. Okay? Listen, when God sees me, He doesn't see my sin anymore. He sees the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And by the way, you know what that means? The Bible says we're joint heirs with Christ. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Is Jesus a big deal to God? Oh, you better believe He is. He's the focal point of everything. Okay? Read the Scripture. It's all about Christ. According to the Word of God, I'm seated with Him in those heavenly places. So I'm not saying this to brag on us. It's coming from God. But in God's eyes, we're a big deal too to Him. Because we're His kids. Amen? Now, I don't think we ought to think too highly of ourselves. The Bible talks about that as well. But all that to say, listen, you fearing God, you just walk with God, and you always just keep your mindset right, God will exalt you when it's time for that to happen. Praise is a result of that. Amen? All right, what else do we see? I got 2 minutes. Proverbs 13:13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. How about that? Proverbs 22:20, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. See how this goes hand in hand? There's balance here. We read about humility. We read about praise. We read about honor. Listen, here's what you got to do. Here's the best mindset, okay? And by the way, the principle here is this. A reward for fearing the Lord is rewards. That's what it says. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Listen, God wants to reward us, but the key to that is humility. Listen, just stay humble before God. Let God do the exalting when and how He wants to do it. Don't exalt yourself. Let God do it. Amen? And just fear God, stay humble, and there's rewards that come to those that fear God. And the last one, Proverbs 14:27. Here's what it says. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. You know what comes along with fearing God? Life. Life. That word life talks about health. That's what it's referring to, health. Physical health, yes. Spiritual health, most definitely. Amen? All as a result of fearing God. So hey, you want everybody's looking for a quick fix, all right, to make everything the way it ought to be. Let's get a quick fix. Well, I don't know how quick it is, and I don't know if you want to call it a fix, but I'll tell you what it is. You apply fear in God to your life, it's going to fix a lot of stuff. Okay? Just as a Christian, learn to fear God. What's it mean? God, you're always watching everything I do. That means before I look at something, goes through my mind, God's watching me, should I be watching this? God, before I listen to something, God, you're watching, should I be listening to this? God, you're watching, should I be going here? What should I be doing, God, because you're always watching me? You live your life that way, and I'm going to tell you, it literally could be a key moment of change in your walk with God in your life. Fearing the Lord. Amen. Fearing the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the Scripture tonight. Lord, I feel like I had so much to say. I don't even know if I got it all out or not, Lord. But thank you for giving us these truths in your Word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to fear you, Lord. Help us to, as White River Baptist Church, Lord, if anything could be said about this church, may it be said we're a congregation that fears the Lord. That would be a phenomenal thing for us to be known by. Help us, Lord, individually in our lives, Lord, to put this to practice. I pray now you bless our prayer time, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you are able, please stick around.